Swing Radio on KPFT 90.1 FM. I think we're pegging that dial. We got to turn down the volume on that because I'm distorting. A little lower, a little lower. That's getting better. Yeah, we don't want to peg that dial. Welcome to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston, KPFT Houston. This is our final fundraising show for three months anyway.
that's good news for everyone who's tired of it.
Yes, it could be. I don't know if your mic is turned on. Number four? Is number four mic on?
Hello?
That's better.
There we go.
Okay. So we got to watch the dials, watch the mics. Yeah, we're having an internal conversation here.
Yeah.
Just don't pay any attention to the voice behind the curtain.
It's growing pains. It'll be sorted out.
It's cool. You know, we're a volunteer station, and everybody that comes here is learning.
That's true.
So that's cool. Mm. Okay, so we still need to make some money. The goal. And we're going to be doing other stuff. Don't be put off by the fact that I'm starting with the money thing, because I have a whole lot of news and information and stuff I'm going to go over. But I got to start somewhere. $850 goal for this hour. We have not made. Hold on a second.
Sorry, folks. We're still adjusting.
Okay. This is your headset.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
And this is my headset. Oh.
All okay. right, that should be good.
And I guess this is the master control here.
Okay,
so.
Cool.
Yeah, we're working it out.
Yeah.
We had a solo show before us, and generally, so that means I have to come in, I have to adjust the overhead lights so that I can see, and I have to adjust the plugs for the headsets. And you know, we run on a tight schedule and a loose ship.
Yeah. That's about the best way to put it, I think.
Can you turn down my volume just a little? I think I'm still pegging that in the red.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Kind of. Okay. And it's I'm not distorted.
Yeah. And people can turn up their radios if we're too quiet, so it's fine.
And actually, you're really loud now.
Oh, great.
Okay. We're going to get this worked out. But anyhow, so we have an $850 goal. The phone number is 713-526-5738. You can call that number. You can text to that number with the message give. You can go to kpft.org and hit donate. And there are several different ways to give. And any donation, large, medium, or small, is very much appreciated. All right, let's start with my usual stuff. By the way, my co-host today is Andrew Ferguson.
Hi there, folks, and thanks for remembering me this time.
I'm you know, I'm slow, but I'm still alive.
That's true. Hey, yeah.
It just takes me time.
At least you can say that.
I can say that. And I'm actually finding you to be very helpful when occasionally I'm lacking a word and
you come up
with the word. So it helps things flow. So actually I'm finding this very, very likable.
And I hope I'm likable for the audience as well, because if they don't like me, I'll go.
Yeah, then we're SOL, as
yeah,
they say.
Yeah.
SOL, because it's an acronym, FCC can't do anything about that. Okay, first of all, I have to do my voting thing. Hmm. This is a little different because we are coming up on Super Tuesday.
Yes.
This is the first time, essentially, that Texas's primary vote will matter in many, many years, because usually it comes after Super Tuesday, and much like California, a lot of the confetti has already fallen to the ground.
Mm.
So adding Texas and California, I might add, to Super Tuesday is a real challenge for the candidates. We're talking big bucks.
Yeah.
When you pay for advertising, you pay for the potential listeners within a marketing area for a particular time slot program.
Yep.
So, like, if you have a program that's getting a million listeners, you're going to pay through the nose. And when you have a marketing area like, say, Los Angeles or Houston, now the city of Houston has something like 3 million people now.
Yeah, something like that.
But the marketing area includes things like Katy and Galveston
and Pearland, and the Woodlands.
So you're talking about maybe 7 to 10 million people.
Yeah.
So that gets to be an expensive market when you have really just sort of been building momentum toward your campaign.
Yeah.
Very, very tough. So, you know, this is why when you hear certain candidates are cutting staff here and increasing staff there, they're having to make very, very hard choices. And, of course, these hard choices are hard on the paid people who are on the campaign because sometimes they can't relocate or they just have.
Yeah.
And, of course, the volunteers can be very disappointed because, you know, maybe they can work from home, but they don't have an office to go to.
Yeah.
Which gives a certain energy. Whenever you're working, you know, working from home has a lot of advantages.
Mm.
But one of the disadvantages, you don't get the hopefully positive energy of working with other people in an environment with a similar goal.
Yep.
Assuming that environment is not, you know, socially toxic, which also
That's true, yeah.
We get the toxic ones. Mm. So Super Tuesday, voting for that, early voting, starts February 18th and runs through February 28th. And March 3rd is Super Tuesday. That's actually Election Day. By the way, there is absolutely no reason to wait until March 3rd.
Mm.
Now, I will say this. I do a mail-in ballot. And if you go, if you're in Harris County, if you go to harrisvotes.com or outside of Harris County, you can go to vote411.org. Don't go to 411-VOTE. That is bad. Vote411.org. You can also go to the Secretary of State's office, and you can find a sample ballot there. If you get the full sample ballot, it's really, really intimidating because it includes all kinds of things that are not going to appear on yours, judges and ballot initiatives and various things. So what you really want to do is, and there are phone numbers that you can call for assistance, but the websites are pretty user-friendly. And what you want to do is find your sample ballot. Mm. See what and who you are going to be choosing from among. It's not just the presidential candidates.
Mm.
And there's, frankly, a very big contest on the Democratic side for senator.
Mm.
So, and then there are judges and a number of other things.
Sure,
so
sure.
Take this time to find, to either investigate the individuals, if you are so inclined.
Yep.
I'll be honest, I really don't do that much. What I do is search through an assortment of endorsements, which give me a sense of the candidate, and then there are one or two endorsers, the caucus.org being among them,
right,
where I put a lot of weight on their endorsements when they endorse.
Mm.
Because I find even though the caucus is basically a gay organization, I am I'm a card-carrying member because I have used them for so many years as guidance.
Yeah.
Because really, you know, they're interested in personal liberty, privacy rights, a lot of liberal progressive values. So I don't always follow their recommendations, but
right,
I put a lot of weight on their recommendations.
You agree with them on a lot of things.
I agree.
And so they're a useful source for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, you might go to labor groups. You might go to newspaper editorials. There are a number of ways that, or you can just go to the League of Women Voters, which is a nonpartisan group that will give you, to the extent that candidates answer their questionnaires,
yes,
that can give you a sense of. There are so many ways you can do research.
Yeah.
And remember that you want to get all the way to the bottom of the ballot.
Yes.
Don't just vote the top one or two or three things at the top. I mean, we're choosing everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for what it's worth, the local people will have a far greater impact on your personal life than the senator and the president, which is not to say you shouldn't vote for them.
No, but
you shouldn't ignore the down ballot races.
Yeah.
They matter to how you live and sometimes how you don't.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
very important.
And if I can give some information quickly on, so the Democratic and Republican primaries are publicly funded primaries. So, you know, you just go to a polling place, I believe.
I don't think they're publicly funded. I think that the primaries are paid for and organized by the parties.
Oh, okay.
Now, to some extent, of course, they share expenses if they share locations.
Right, right.
But no, those, the primaries are individually supported.
To some degree, they are at least publicly supported because they, if nothing else, use the voting machines that are property of the state.
I think they pay for stuff.
Okay,
I mean,
well,
we can check. We obviously have a difference of opinion
here,
and we're both kind of thinking what we've
there's
heard
a different,
over
there's,
time.
There's an inconsistency in knowledge in the booth today.
There may be a little of both.
Yeah.
But my information over the years has been that each party primary is very much organized and paid for by the party. The state is an enabler.
Right.
And assist.
Well, for parties like the Greens and the Libertarians, definitely that is privately funded. And so you can't really just, if you want to participate in those nominating processes, you can't just go to a polling place like normal. You have to look up where for the case of the Greens, I know at least, you have to go to the Greens website. They're required to post the nominating like conventions for the for the counties.
You're talking about before the ballot is finalized. Because that ship has sailed.
Yes. Yeah, before like the general ballot, definitely. But like the the Libertarian and Green parties have like their own
primaries.
Yeah, they're primaries, but for the Greens, at least, it's different.
Because, really, there aren't that many people competing for a slot among the Greens and the Libertarians. It's pretty much the nominating process that is deciding that.
I don't know if that's accurate, because I know for the Greens,
well, and we don't want to spread a whole lot of inaccurate. Let's just say everything we're saying right now is guesswork and speculation.
That's true. Okay. But what I know is if you want to be involved in the primary or nominating process or whatever for a party that is not the Democrats or the Republicans, go to the party's website. They are required to post the information about whatever that process is. And, you know, for each county that does that, that's going to be on the party's website. So if you're interested in doing that and you don't know how, that's how you go and do
it. So look up what you want to do is look up your county Libertarians or your county Greens.
Yeah, if possible.
Now, if you end up at the national site, if it's well developed, they can guide you.
Yeah, but
again,
say,
local ballot is the thing ultimately.
The state parties, I'd say, instead of the national parties, because the national parties wouldn't have that information because it's organized at the state level.
Well, I'm just saying that if you do a search,
sure,
depending on how you search, and depending on what it turns up, but you can find that information.
Yes.
If you
inclined. Yeah. Yeah. Look for your party information or your county information, your state information. Go to the national site if you can't find stuff there. And you should be able to find that online. So,
okay. So having sort of flogged that to death, I guess I should say now you are listening to Think Wing Radio on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. We are in the middle of chit chat, and raising money.
Yeah, and fundraising.
Trying to fundraise on all of that. You can call 713-526-5738. Any donation, large or small, the goal for the hour is a somewhat intimidating $850.
Somewhat intimidating.
We didn't make it last week, and we didn't make it the week before. Mm. So if you want to take the whole thing, I'm almost afraid to say it because it makes it seem unapproachable, but we're really looking at trying to accumulate $2,400.
Yeah.
Hey, $2,400 today.
Yeah.
If everyone who's listening puts in, like, $20?
Yeah, we could
or
$10 get that.
We could probably do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not out of reach. It's just a little daunting.
Yeah, okay.
But every little bit helps.
Oh, absolutely.
And we, the royal we, me and the station, we all appreciate whatever you can afford.
Yes.
And some people that gave last time can't afford it this time, and some people that didn't give last time maybe have a few bucks they can spare this time. And about 8% of listeners at any given time are supporting the station.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you haven't in a while, please do. If you never have, please do.
Yeah.
If you can't, but you still want to listen, please do.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't like a pay-as-you-go station. We're not a podcast that you have to subscribe to and pay for. We are free air.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that I did, I didn't have time to do everything on it that I wanted to do. But the latest, you know, we talk about media concentration.
Mm.
So I went to a particular website that I go to more or less every fundraising cycle And, of course, ownerships change, but media concentration not so much. So having sorted, we've got three. Now, there are about 55 AM-FM combined radio stations in Metro Houston.
Okay.
So right now, going alphabetically, three are owned by Cox.
Mm.
Two are owned by DAIJ, D-A-I-J Media. Tropical Spanish Christian is how it's called.
Okay.
This is a new one, Entercom. Hmm. I imagine that they changed their name from something else. They apparently own 95.7, 96.5, 100.3, 101. And they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 stations. And I think that they have, it looks like, from name association, it looks like there is, what did I say, 6?
Six, I think.
Six, and there is a seventh that looks like they own it that is what they call regional Mexican, so probably Spanish or Chicano-speaking.
This is all publicly available information,
this is all publicly
right?
available okay. information.
Just want to make sure we're not running afoul of any privacy laws.
No. This is a publicly, I mean, if someone is interested, I can go ahead and post the link that I use. Mm. Maybe when I go back home, I'll put that on my website. But I try to check this every time we have a fundraiser because it changes.
Hmm.
iHeartMedia, which used to be Clear Channel, mm-hmm. owns 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 stations.
Mm.
Let's see, KSBJ is 2, Lieberman Broadcasting is 3, Pacifica, the one and only, Salem Media is 2, Univision, or Univision, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then Urban One is 3. Now, I haven't done the tally, but generally it turns out that maybe 5 companies own approximately half of all the broadcast stations.
Right.
So that means that half of everything you hear in Houston is shaped by about 5 companies.
Yeah.
That is media concentration.
Absolutely.
To some extent, that is thought control.
Mm.
To some extent, that is propaganda,
mm.
whether it's propagandizing specific music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's pay to play there, but mm-hmm. you know, if they favor certain artists, they favor certain music. This is what media concentration is about. This is the Murdoch exception.
Right.
And this is the end of the FCC equal time.
Yes.
And this is the end of the limitation of ownership within yeah. markets.
Yeah.
We now, talked about a market earlier.
Yeah. Now I do want to say, we mentioned pay to play there. Playola is illegal, and we're not saying that anybody is doing it.
No.
But it's a possibility because anybody could be breaking the law in any way at any time.
And, of course, there are subtle ways of breaking the law, like, you know, some presidents do.
Oh, yes.
By not specifically saying, do this illegal thing, although
yeah.
some presidents are stupid enough to do that. Yeah. But it's often about, would you take care of this problem for me?
Mm.
Which is not a specific order, which is how the leaders of criminal organizations often avoid direct responsibility.
Yeah.
I asked you to take care of it for me. I didn't ask you to, like, burn down the store or kill the proprietor or destroy the... I mean, I just said take care of it for me.
It's plausible deniability.
Plausible deniability. Okay, I'm going to turn that page. And,
you know, they tell us on these stickers on the doors all over the station not to shuffle papers. We don't listen to that on the show.
Well, I have a choice. I can be prepared with my paperwork and shuffle papers,
mm-hmm.
or I can, I guess, maybe have a tablet screen that's hard for me to read, in which case then you're going to hear me scrubbing a screen,
maybe.
Or I can just ramble without any notes whatsoever and do something that's completely freeform.
Mm.
Just flow of consciousness.
Which might be an interesting experiment one time, but whether it makes good radio, we're not sure.
Well, flow of consciousness is what I do when I digress.
Sure.
And I have to tell you, it has actually taken practice to be able to digress and circle back.
Yes.
It is not my natural inclination to circle back. So
yeah.
I always try to make sure that in my digressions, I'm still connecting enough dots that I can bring it back to my starting point.
Right.
That takes practice.
Yeah.
I have to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, I have these in a certain order, but I'm going to depart from the order that I have them because something cropped up the other night on Facebook. I'm not going to name any names. It doesn't matter. But there is a person I follow. He's basically a good person. I respect him. I like him. We have our disagreements, and we have in the Venn diagram some areas that we overlap. And he is a Bernie guy.
Okay.
And I would say, in my opinion, that he's practically a Bernie spammer. Just Bernie, 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 Bernie.
Right.
And anything that isn't Bernie is crooked, or the establishment getting its establishment guys.
Right.
So it's either you love Bernie, mm-hmm. or everybody else is a crook or a thief or otherwise not playing fair.
A typical kind of assessment of the political system by a lot of people.
Yes.
They like the people they like and anybody else they hate.
No, I would not say that is correct. There
really?
Is a fraction of people like that.
Hmm.
But someone like me, and I think most Democrats, defeating Trump is the primary thing.
Okay.
If you love Bernie, if you love Warren, if you love Klobuchar, and you want to give them money, and you want to give them verbal support and emotional support, that's great.
Hmm.
But at the end of the day, I think the vast majority of Democrats would vote for a turtle if that's what got the nomination.
Okay.
All right? It's not letting Trump and the Republicans have another 4 years to damage the country.
Did I say a common or the most common? Because I think it's still pretty common, even if it's a minority.
Give me the whole thought again.
Yeah, like I think that there's a lot of people out there who, on across many different political beliefs, not just left wing or centrist in the Democrats' case, who they trust or believe everything one person says or a group of people say, and anybody else they automatically consider to be corrupt or untrustworthy because they disagree with this one person they listen
to. They basically have a fanatical attachment to a person.
Yeah.
And yes, there's always a percentage like that. You know, there's a word, incredulous.
Mm.
Incredulous basically being doubtful of something, of not entirely believing a thing.
Yeah.
But the root of that word, which is not often used, is credulous.
Right.
When someone is credulous, they tend to basically believe anything that their favored candidate or their favored party says.
Right.
And, both of those in balance are good, but neither one exclusively is good.
Right.
So there are people that are extremely credulous of what their favorite candidate or party says.
Sure.
And people need to be less credulous.
Sure.
And they need to be a balance between doubtful and cynical, and at some point you have to trust something from somebody.
Yeah.
There's a balance to be struck there.
Yeah.
And to get back to my point.
Sorry. Critical support is the message of the day.
This is a perfect example. To get back to my point, so I got into a little Facebook discussion. It wasn't nasty.
Okay.
But it was revealing. And basically, this person said, if Sanders is not the Democratic nominee, he would rather vote for Trump.
Yeah.
And
I've encountered some people like that.
I have encountered some people like that. And to me, that's almost like a Steve Bannon-esque kind of logic, because the logic that was extended, if I understood it properly, was, in a sense, he would almost rather see four more years of Trump and the Republicans tearing down the system to further radicalize the left, to reform the Democratic Party and turn it into this person's vision of what a progressive party on the left should look like.
Right, okay.
Now, essentially, that's kind of the position that Steve Bannon took. He wanted to deconstruct the U.S. government.
Sure.
What makes these people, whether it's Bernie supporters or some other faction, what makes these people different from Steve Bannon? That he wants to tear down what exists so that it can be reshaped in the image that he prefers. Essentially, these people are talking the same game.
Well,
do Bernie people really want to be Steve Bannon's?
I think intentions are the difference between
the road to hell, man.
Yeah, but intentions still matter because
results matter.
Results matter.
Intentions
too,
matter, but outcomes are what really matter.
I'm not saying that they don't matter. I'm saying that if somebody does something that ends up having poor results, but they had good intentions, there's still an opportunity there to convince them to do something that will fix the mess they made.
But if
people don't have good intentions, there's no chance of that.
Well, you know, even eugenicists had quote-unquote good intentions. Their intention was to improve the human race through selective breeding.
Right.
Now, if you take the position that humans are beasts like any other, and mm-hmm. that you can improve a beast through selective breeding, mm-hmm. humans do it all the time, minus genetic splicing.
Yeah.
I mean, we've spent thousands of years selectively breeding everything from dogs to cows to horses.
Sure.
Well-intentioned,
yeah.
the improvement of the human race.
Yeah.
Except that selectively breeding humans isn't the same thing as selectively breeding horses on
that's
a moral,
true.
Ethical level.
Yeah, that's
but
very
well-intentioned.
True.
So, intentions are fine. I can appreciate good intentions. But when you have historical and political and philosophical evidence that the good intentions you have will lead to, and I'm going to use the term advisedly, further destruction
mm-hmm.
of our system.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get to a point of chaos, anything can happen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're talking Weimar Republic. Anything can happen.
Yes, that's true.
So I think that these people that have this notion of letting things get worse, because then our party will be in a position to make them better. It's like, how many allies will we lose? How much more debt will we go into? How much more money will be funneled to the top? How many more people will die as a result of this deconstruction or destruction perpetrated by the right wing before the left wing is left enough for people like this to say, I'm ready to vote for them now?
I agree with...
That's a big package to address, yeah. by the way.
I agree with, you know, your... I think your core point in that it's not wise to risk... You know, well, it's not wise to risk the lives of other people. It's not, you know, ethical to risk the lives of other people for the, you know, for the chance that, you know, you might benefit, you know. But I also think that there's something sort of implicit in what you're saying, and that you believe that any destruction or, you know, dismantlement of the, you know, system of the United States, regardless of intention, would lead to bad effects, would lead to bad things. And
at the very least in the interim.
And that's a, you know, fair assessment to take based on, you know, your experience and your understanding of history. But it's not one that everybody shares. There are people on the left who don't believe that the U.S. has any real moral justification to exist, and that we would be better off if we were under a system that was more directly democratic, more willing to share resources equitably, that sort of thing.
Are we talking communism?
We could be.
Which is different from socialism.
Sure.
Which is different from social democracy.
Sure, sure. We could be talking about any number of those three. It's all about, you know, the specifics of, you know, the system. But I'm talking in more general terms here.
Well, but I think...
At least I'm trying to.
Well, I think talking in general terms can be part of the problem.
Hmm.
Because when you're talking about destroying existing institutions and infrastructure,
sure,
that's a very specific thing.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about in general what you think will result from that, that's a very unhelpful thing, because in general anything can happen.
That's true.
Including firing squads.
That's true. But
and I'm not being an extremist here. I mean, I'm simply learning from history. Just because we've never had a bloody we had a civil war, which was almost like a revolution.
Almost, yeah.
But we've never had like a bloody state-by-state private militias fighting government. We've never had that kind of revolution. We've never had a Cuban-style revolution.
Right.
And just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it can't. And,
true.
You know, Roosevelt at the time, people around him, and from my understanding, he himself, actually felt that what he was doing was saving capitalism from itself.
Right.
And I think there's a lot to be said for that point of view.
Okay.
So, your turn now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's all right. No, it's fine. This is the format of this show. You say a lot of things, and I say some stuff that I'm not quite sure about. because I have never been sure about one thing I've ever said in my entire life.
Yeah, I'm 69, so I think I know everything. You're 21, so you think you know everything.
No, that's not, I don't think that's true.
Okay, no, it isn't true. You're fair about that.
Yeah, I don't think I know everything. In fact, I think I'm an idiot. But
No. I will use one of my sayings that I pull out of my hat from time to time.
Okay.
Ignorance is a correctable condition.
Okay.
Only stupid is forever.
Okay, all right. Well, but, you know, I think that in a lot of different ways, any action can have a multitude of different.
And by the way, I've got like
effects.
14 pages of other stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
So I should shut up.
No. I mean, this is the discussion. Sometimes it goes this way.
Yeah.
I have this stuff so I don't run out of things to say. We are obviously not running out of things to say.
That's
so go
true.
Ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I think that there is still, there are definitely ways that, a total removal of the system of the United States could absolutely go bad. Like, there are definitely ways that could happen.
You're talking anarchy now.
Because
when you talk about a total removal of the system, you're talking about no system, which defines as anarchy.
Sure. But I think a lot of people, when they talk about anarchy, they mean it in, they add a moral judgment to it, which I don't think is necessary, which is required.
Don't you love when you have people with their own definitions of anarchy? Anarchy has a definition.
It's the absence of a government, isn't it? Just at its basic.
At the end of the day, it's at the end of the day, in a sense, it's libertarian communism.
Yeah.
But it assumes that everybody will play fair,
which
of course will never happen.
That's a position to take. That's an interpretation.
Because
to
make it happen, you need authorities to enforce it, which already is not anarchy.
Mm. Well, I think
unless your opinion of human beings is that they are perfectly fair all the time, universally.
Well, now we're kind of getting into
the purpose of government.
Well, I was going to go more in what types of authority are there, because I think there's codified authority, there's, structured authority, but there's also intellectual authority or emotional authority, and,
tribal leaders and strongmen.
Sure. I mean, you don't necessarily need to have a codified, you don't need to elect a leader into power in order for them to be a leader. You know, if if a group of people get together and they talk for a while and they get comfortable with each other and one person tends to be agreed with, that group might naturally say, okay, well, this guy's kind of, they've got good ideas and they should probably be the one to speak for us. And,
you're talking about a rule of men, not laws.
Sure.
Where there is no actual rule about who gets executed and who does not.
Sure. And if there is a conflict and it can't be solved with words, it can be solved with violence. And, and some people.
Now, why
don't
do you consider
happen,
what you're saying a selling point?
Well, because I think there's a lot of inefficiency in a bureaucratic system. But
you realize that inefficiency in government is a feature, not a bug.
Sure.
The inefficiency is intended by our founders to make government safe, not efficient.
Okay.
Efficiency comes from a strong man like Mussolini or Hitler.
Okay.
That's efficient.
I think maybe efficiency was the wrong word. It was a great word
because it actually shows kind of how. I mean, you're not the first to use it.
It's maybe the wrong word for what I was trying to communicate.
Okay.
I think there is a lot of needless suffering created by a system where you have a lot of rigidity, you have a lot of, there's a certain way that things have to be done, and there's no room or very little room for other methods of getting things done. And ultimately, I mean, I haven't pinned down my own ideological location, but generally when people ask me to describe my ideology, it's what will, reduce the most amount of suffering while maintaining the most amount of freedom. And, that's ultimately what I would want out of any government system. And,
I think that's a fair summarization.
Yeah. while there's, you know, and I'm not saying I totally hate the idea of a state. I mean, the state has some pompousness to it that's kind of fun. You know, I was into micronations, which is basically where you set up a government and a flag and a constitution and laws and everything.
I think the term for that is city-states. You see, well, the things that you're referring to, there are usually historical precedents for.
Sure.
So you can actually make a judgment of how this experiment probably turned out. It's kind of like the conservative thing about if you cut taxes, you'll increase revenue because of the increase in economic activity. But when you take that to extreme,
right,
if you have no taxes, you should have infinite tax revenue.
Right. Yeah. Which obviously doesn't happen.
Which obviously doesn't happen. Yeah. So, I mean, it's an ideological desire not proven out by historical fact.
Right. But, you know, that doesn't mean that it's inherently worthless.
Well, yes, it does, because it's been tested. It's been experimented. It's almost like a science experiment, where we have done that several times in the last couple of generations, both on a federal level and in certain cases state levels, and it never works out well. And they keep insisting this is a good idea.
But if we throw out everything that doesn't work out in practice, we don't have anything to strive for.
No, if we throw out everything that doesn't work in practice, then we strive for things that work in practice.
But the only thing that we know works in practice is the only thing that we is the thing we have right now.
Amazing.
But that means
we don't
improve. All
right, I'm going to do a station ID. Okay. You're listening to Think Wing Radio. I'm watching a guy on the other side.
You signed up for this.
I don't know who's agreeing with or who's just laughing at both of us. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. Okay, he's saying we both have great opinions. I personally think my opinion is greater, but that's just me.
Well, I think mine is greater, but I appreciate that he enjoys both of ours. And I hope you all do, too, listening out there in Radio Land.
Actually, that kind of is the point.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's, you know, we were talking before the show went on the air about what do I do? Am I a journalist? Am I a reporter? Am I an analyst? I consider myself essentially, on one level, a news reader.
Sure.
I sort through the news. This is, I mean, Think Wing Radio. Now we're kind of talking about what my philosophy of the show is, and I actually have one.
I'm sorry, quickly, did you finish the station ID, or did we interrupt ourselves?
I think I did it. I think I finished it, but, okay. You know, you can never do too many station IDs.
That's fair.
You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT Houston, which is the FCC requirement.
Yes.
I was going to say the KFC requirement.
No, yeah.
Only if you're chicken.
Yeah.
That's, so, 90.1 FM, Metro Houston. I'm watching. I'm sorry. I'm reacting to a guy that none of you can hear, but I can see. I mean, the idea of what I do.
Yeah.
You know, to me, journalism is a very specific thing.
Sure.
It's a thing that, it's like law. You know, you don't necessarily agree with law, but you understand the concept of law. You understand that even guilty defendants are entitled to an active defense.
Sure.
I mean, it's an adversarial system, law. And to me, the marketplace of ideas, so to speak, to use what might be a conservative frame, that is also sort of a competitive marketplace.
Yeah.
It's the marketplace of ideas.
Yeah.
And that's great. What I do, and of course, to some extent, I am affected by my biases, which I think any person in fairness should say.
Yeah.
But I look for stories that I think are interesting, that maybe are underplayed. Like I have one story I never got to about possible changes in the Texas sales tax rules.
Yeah, we should let you get to that.
For internet sales, which is kind of an interesting story in itself. So I look for those kinds of things that are under the radar that people might not see. I try to give a little voice to them, and I try to do some analysis of them. And, of course, on a good day when I can take phone calls, I then have callers that I can discuss or, in rare cases, argue with. I try not to argue with callers.
Yeah.
So that we can then get the broadest possible exposure of not only information but ideas about that information.
Yeah.
And the idea of Think Wing is, while I have my opinions, and most of my opinions are definitely leftish, some of them are very leftish, but I don't believe in rigidity. I believe in reasoned consideration of why you believe what you believe.
Sure.
And maybe deeper thought, if possible, about the implications of what you believe.
Sure.
So I don't consider the show to be a right-wing show. I don't consider the show to be a left-wing show. I invite callers of all opinions and political stripes. I've gotten communists. I've gotten white supremacists. I mostly get people to the left because of the listeners that tend to be KPFT listeners.
Yep.
But I want everybody to feel they have a voice. And my goal, ideally, is to give every caller 1 to 2 minutes on the air.
Yeah.
To state their piece before I start questioning or discussing or agreeing or disagreeing.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's the format that I aspire to.
Mm.
And occasionally what happens is the 14 pages of stuff that I print out ends up getting sidetracked by another discussion that ends up not being what was planned when I was putting together the show. And sometimes that's the most interesting shows that I do.
Yeah.
Is the stuff that happens totally by surprise.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we've kind of beat this topic to death
in terms of
we're going to go in circles now.
Yeah, if we want to move on, I think we should.
I think we should. And while we're moving on, please send us some money.
Yeah.
713-526-5738. If you feel that discussions like this have a place in your life, something thought-provoking, something experientially expansive, something that, you know, maybe makes you feel stronger about one side or the other in ways that you haven't considered before, or ideas you haven't considered before. I mean, that is what I hope to accomplish on my show.
Yeah. I mean, we've just had a, well, Mike's had a little monologue about about what this show is and what it
why it's called Think Wing Radio and what I try to accomplish.
And if that's the kind of, you know, thoughtful content, dare I say, you know, as somebody who works on the show, thoughtful, I hesitate to use the term intellectual because it's a little bit pretentious, but, you know,
why is intellectualism pretentious?
Well,
I don't understand why elites are bad.
Well, it's because a lot of people who call themselves intellectuals aren't actually intellectuals.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. That's that, you know,
faux intellectuals.
Yeah, faux intellectuals. But, you know, and which we are, you know, you can debate. But
I'm not a faux intellectual.
Okay. I think I think
in many ways I'm an intellectual in the sense that I try to be well informed and I try to be accurate in my statements.
Okay. All right, fair enough. I was trying to be humorously humble, but, you know,
well, you can be.
I
have been called arrogant, and I suppose there's truth to that, but sometimes it's earned.
Yeah, I mean, and we're all a little bit arrogant sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I know what I know, and I know what I don't know.
Yeah, and if you also know what you know, and you also know what you don't know, and we help you reduce the things that you don't know, and you appreciate that, you know, well, we'd appreciate your support, you know?
You know? You know.
Yeah.
713-526-5738. Please send us what you can. $5, $500, $50, $10 a month. You know, the price of a gallon of gas every month, the price of a latte every month. There are premiums that you can get at certain levels. I am told, and I know that on some of the shows there's been some question about this. The last I heard, $25 a year makes you a voting member of KPFT. There's been some discussion, is it 25, is it 40?
Right.
The last I heard authoritatively is $25 as a voting membership.
Yeah. And I believe also if you come down here and volunteer for a certain amount of time, you get a voting membership as well.
Yes, but it's a different vote.
Oh,
There's the listener votes, and then there's the station votes.
Yeah, the volunteer votes and all that sort of thing.
Exactly.
But still, if you can't support us with your money, you could support us with your labor, you know, and
or
that's what I do.
Or you can support us by word of mouth. If you don't have the money right now to contribute to the show, expanding our audience is a significant way of assisting the show and the station.
Yeah.
Tell people about KPFT. Tell people about 90.1 FM. Tell people of the shows that you like. We do lots of really unique music shows.
We've got one pledge coming in from a Gregory. Okay. Okay. Gregory Comier. Thank you very much.
Yes, actually, I think you've been in the process literally of thanking him as you've been
As I've been receiving
listening.
The information.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, Gregory. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you.
I'm
not sure, actually, by the way, that we're allowed to use last names. I don't know. But Because some shows avoid it.
Guidance varies.
Guidance varies.
Okay. The thing that has been enforced on me is generally we don't talk about the size of contributions.
Okay, fair.
Because especially when someone makes a large contribution, we don't want to intimidate people that cannot match that.
Right, right. That makes
but
sense.
Even that rule is broken by some shows. So, again, this comes down to non-uniform guidance.
Yeah, yeah.
Or uniform non-guidance.
Hmm.
713-526-5738. Please call that number. Somebody will pick up the phone, discuss with you how much you would like to pledge. And what kind of thank you gift, if any, you would like, and give you all the information you need.
And if you can't, like, pull out your credit card and give them your information right there and, like, you're driving or something, you can ask them to call you back later. You know, leave them some contact information. They'll come back to you and, you know, you can finish up your pledge.
Yeah,
you know?
They'll call, they'll email, they'll snail mail.
It means that you can even, you know,
a pledge is a promise.
Yeah, it's a promise. And it means that you can even dial right now and, you know, stop listening to us for a second so that you can give us money, which I think is a fair trade-off.
Yeah, I can live with that. That's okay. So 713-526-5738 is a number to call. 713-526-5738 is also a number to text.
The word give.
The word give.
G-I-V-E.
In case, you know, in case you always thought that was Jeeva.
Yeah. Well, in case you misheard us. Cause
yeah.
Sometimes
and Zellweger, by the way, Zellweger is, I was listening to the show before.
Okay.
And I know the G's typically are soft if they're not followed by something like a U, but
right.
English is full of exceptions and it's Zellweger.
Yeah.
Just saying. Because, you know, I'm pedantic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And KPFT.org is also a way that you can donate. Pick the show that you want to choose and then donate. And, of course, when you pick a show, that's a form of a rating.
Yeah.
That it shows that we have listeners and that they appreciate the content and they want to support the show. But if you can't do any of those things, at least tell your friends about the shows you like, whether it's Think Wing Radio or Politics Done Right or The Vegan Show.
I'm sorry, you can tell that I don't do enough listening to KPFT. I should do more.
Like right after us is Blues and Hi-Fi with Clint Broussard.
And what's Sumo World Radio?
Sumo World Radio. Of course, he's on HD2.
That's true. But you should give some love to the HD2 channels, frankly.
Yes.
I mean,
there are quite a number of HD radios out there now because new cars have them and new radios have them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are so many ways you can support the station financially, verbally, to some extent intellectually.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, of course, we need money.
Yes.
But all of those ways are ways that you can support the station
at the end of the day. I mean, without money, we can't put our content on the air. But without content, you know, we don't have anything to do with the money we have.
Right.
You know? So
which would
know,
make us scam artists.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't want to be
We
that.
Are not scam artists.
Yeah.
We are music lovers. We are idea lovers.
We're
community lovers. We love to talk about politics that affect our lives and social issues that affect our lives and music that gives spirit to our hearts and our minds. We have something like 100 unique shows between HD2 and FM.
Wow.
Something, because I've counted all the different titles. We have something like 100 unique titles. I'm not talking about a show that runs 5 days a week has five.
Sure.
That's one title.
Yeah, that's one title.
So, I mean, we are an incredible asset for this community. We were talking about media concentration, how five or six companies own the majority of stations in this market.
Yeah.
Do you know how much they would love to have our frequency?
Mm.
They would love it. They would love for us to go out of business so that our frequency would be up for bid.
Mm-hmm.
You can help stop that.
Yeah.
You can help prevent that with whatever you can.
Absolutely.
You know, whether it's contributing now or contributing to the next fund drive, now is good.
Now is great.
You know, and whether it's $10 or $25 or $500, we once had someone come in and give us a Krugerrand, which is like $1,700.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
And we once had a woman on a fixed income give us $16 and change because when she went through her bills, that was all she could afford.
Yeah.
That's literally someone saying, this is everything I've got.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm giving you, which is awe-inspiring.
Yeah, it's
and humbling.
Yeah, absolutely. It's way more than the sum of its parts, or the sum of the sum, I guess, in this case, because it means that they if you give what you can afford and all you can afford, if you decide to do that, that means that you value us so much that you're willing to, you know, to put everything you can into making sure that this station stays on the air and still benefits this community.
Now, that's a lot to ask, and we're not necessarily saying,
absolutely,
we're not asking every, you know, this isn't a prosperity channel.
No.
So we're not saying you should always give us everything you can afford.
No, of course not.
But nonetheless, it's a humbling story.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's talk a little about stuff. Yep. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM. We are, if you couldn't tell, we are in fundraising mode. That doesn't mean we're not going to talk about stuff.
Oh, sure.
Out of the Texas Tribune, a source I try to frequent and support, apparently there is a sales tax question that's coming up. The way it currently works in some cases, you know, normally sales tax is collected at the point of sale, which means that if you live in Houston but you go out to Katy, the Katy taxing district is the one that collects even though you live in Houston.
Right.
There's also some argument and some merit and some law that sales tax should be considered collected at the point of receipt.
Okay.
So if someone buys something in Idaho, but they take delivery of it in Houston,
right,
that Houston should get the sales tax.
Hmm.
And there is currently a thing that's going on. What's his name? Hager, I think it is.
Okay.
I should have Glenn Hager, who is the Texas controller, wants to change.
I've said, all right, but
I thought you corrected the name.
No,
I think it's Hager.
Well, I am actually about to correct you. Isn't it comptroller? Is it pronounced controller?
No, you're right. It is comptroller.
Okay.
I fumbled linguistically, for which I apologize.
Well, it's understandable.
You are correct.
It's one of those old terms that has been like, it's a combination of a bunch of different words or two different words.
I'll have to look up the etymology of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, yes, you're right. I should not gloss over that.
Okay.
So, the Texas comptroller, Glenn Hagar, H-E-G-A-R, wants to change the tax rules in ways that would upend some economic development deals. So there are some deals where literally 75% of the tax collected by, like, a Best Buy or a Home Depot, if you buy online, 75% of the collected sales tax is rebated to the company selling the product. It's one of those development deals, like, you know, waiving property taxes for a certain number of years, or waiving state income tax for a certain number of years in order to attract development. So
the logic is that it boosts growth.
The logic is that it boosts growth, much like having a zero tax base would give you infinite tax revenue.
Yeah.
And these deals have been questioned many times by economists and politicians and residents in the past, and there is a mixed bag of whether the, if you want to call them kickbacks, actually equal the value of the economic development and the increase in the tax base. It's a very dicey thing. So this particular investigation into this rule, there are a lot of vested interests both ways.
Sure.
There are communities that say, we really want the sales tax collected and spent at the point of receipt.
Right.
And then you have these other entities that have community development deals, and they have contracts.
Yeah.
And, you know, even with a several-year transition period. So you've got a lot of vested interests in this. And, and there's legality, and there's fairness, and there's economic justification. So this...
Because breaking those contracts would presumably have some consequences for the governments that signed them.
Exactly.
And, so,
and perhaps the state, if the state forces them to renege on the contracts.
And then, of course, the businesses want the contracts to stay up because they benefit.
I guess, though, the point that I'm making here is, and I can't, obviously, I have a lot of this stuff excerpted, but the point I want to make here is this is an issue that is not getting a lot of public coverage.
Yeah.
And by following something like the Texas Tribune, which is a nonprofit Texas-based news organization. This is how you find out about little tchotchke things like this. Another article, and these are on my webpage, so you can actually go to thinkwingradio.com and find all the stuff that I thought I might talk about with links to read the articles. There's one article from the Washington Post. It's an opinion piece called "The Right Needs to Stop Falsely Claiming That the Nazis Were Socialists." The Nazis hated socialists. And it was the governments that rebuilt Europe after the war that embraced social welfare. And let's see. I just want to kind of go through headlines at this point because we've only got like 2 minutes. And then there's a piece by Jennifer Rubin, who is a Washington Post columnist. I would say she's a moderate to liberal Republican.
Okay.
Moderate to liberal conservative. And she has a warning that actually ended up going to the top of the show in our discussion. A warning to Democrats is what it's called. Don't let Bernie Sanders get away from you. And she makes a couple of interesting points in my excerpts, which I highlighted. One is that Sanders promised to release his full medical records before primary voting started. He still has not. He hasn't released his full medical records even after his heart attack, insisting he's in good health. He says a doctor told him to walk and sleep more, so it's a good thing, she says, that he's not running for a job where sleep may be disturbed constantly due to national crises or jet lag travel. And in her opinion, Jennifer Rubin, as a liberal to moderate Republican, she says the candidates should step up their criticism of Sanders and begin earnestly vetting him now. Klobuchar, for example, could point out that the last guy who promised to release sensitive information but never did was Trump. So, and then there's the MAGA war on architectural diversity, where there's... there is now going to be an executive order that may impose a classical style on new federal buildings. This is by Michael Kimmelman. I, for some reason, didn't write down the paper. I think it might have been the Post. He's calling it a shiny object Twitter bait, populists versus elites. And this is, I think, a key comment. The order provokes inevitable allusions to authoritarian regimes of the past that impose their own architectural marching orders. The Nazis did it. The communists did it. So there's a lot to digest, and there's a lot more on my website, thinkwingradio.com. We have 5 seconds. So Clint Broussard is following, and please contribute to KPFT and Think Wing Radio, and have a great week. Okay, apparently we're going to stay live for a while. Let me get my headset back on.
Welcome to ThinkWing Overtime.
Yes, Overtime with Andrew Ferguson and Mike Honig on ThinkWing. So it's kind of like a Bill Maher thing, except, you know, it's live and it's not on podcast. Okay, well, in that case, I need to unstack my papers and start getting to some of the other stuff that I didn't get to. This is an article that I've been saving for a while. It's from January 10th. New York Times, and it's called "Who Signs Up to Fight?" The makeup of U.S. recruits shows glaring disparity. More and more new recruits come from the same small number of counties and are the children of old recruits. This kind of gets back to my notions of universal service.
Right.
Not necessarily a draft per se, because a universal service... Now we're leaving again.
Okay.
Okay, send us money. 713-526-5738. You never know, man. This is what makes live radio exciting. Everybody have a great week. I'll be back Monday with phone calls. Bye-bye.
See ya.